Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm Katie Mox, and coming up on today's show, it is week one of college football. It's officially underway. We'll preview the weekend's biggest games, and we'll give you our picks. Plus, the Backyard Brawl returned after 11 years, but did it live up to the hype? And of course, we will give you our Mox Locks. But first, we're going to welcome in Danny Brasco on a Friday. Danny, happy Friday. What's going on for the weekend?
We're here, baby. Labor Day weekend. It's time to make some money. College football season kicking off. UFC Paris. Awesome sports going on all weekend. So let's cash in, Katie.
Let's cash in. All right, let's start things off with our Mox Thought. My Mox Thought, but I'm keeping you in with this one because I definitely want to know what your opinion is. After over a decade, the Backyard Brawl was brawling last night. West Virginia and Pitt faced off, and it was absolutely electric. It had everything that you wanted in a big game. 6-point lead shifts, huge plays, a blocked punt, a pick six, targeting calls, college kids actually losing their minds. Kenny Pickett's sighting. He was there dropping the ACC championship banner back at his alma mater, Pitt. Pitt trailed by 14 in the fourth quarter. Then they tie up the game. And then the hometown hero, the kid from Pitt that transferred from Kentucky, MJ Devonshire, intercepts JT Daniels for a 56-yard pick six. Pitt scored two touchdowns in like 45 seconds. It was absolutely wild. Danny, did you have anything on this game? And what'd you think?
So I gave out the under 51.5 to my followers on Instagram. And oof, at halftime, it was 10-10. That was looking great. It was a gritty kind of exactly what I expected the game to be in that backyard brawl. Second half exploded. You just broke down all the crazy scoring plays. So, you know, that didn't go well. But I did take Pitt -2.5 live. And you said, you know, Devonshire got that interception off the quarterback. I think he got the interception off the wide receiver. It bounced right off his hands into his lap, and he runs a pick six in. So I got a little lucky on that one, but it was such an awesome game. And yeah, like you said, like the best opener we could have asked for.
Absolutely. And I've got a soft place in my heart for Pitt. So when I did a Ride With series last season, my last one was at Pitt. And I was in the parking lot. By the way, the people of Pittsburgh are the most lovely human beings. Someone told me there that 70% of the people that live in Pittsburgh were actually from Pittsburgh. So it's like super, super hometown feel. I had lost my purse. I had taken it off for a photo. I put it down on the ground in a tailgate. And then I started doing other things. I completely forgot about it. It was like an hour later that I realized that I didn't have my purse. And I'm like, oh, well, goodbye to everything that's in there. And I had my entire life in there. Somehow, because of the amazing people of Pittsburgh, my purse found me. Someone came and dropped it off to a police officer that took it to a crossing guard that went in, saw I had little business cards in there, found me on Instagram, was like, hey, by the way, we've got your purse. Come to the crosswalk after the game, and had everything in there. And I was like, you know what? I love the people of Pittsburgh. So I was really, really happy for them last night.
So thoughtful. Katie, you're always going to have a soft spot for Pitt. So we know that you're going to be riding the Panthers this season.
Yes, hail to Pitt.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, people, we're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. See, it's not just about the daily promos, odd boosts, or the hundreds of ways to wager. It's about the immortal words of Caesar himself. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Every bet you place on the app, no matter the outcome, earns towards exclusive perks at Caesars Rewards destinations everywhere. Hotel stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app, become a Caesars Rewards member today and get more with every wager. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700. All right, moving along to Capper's Corner. Let's dive into some of the big college football week one games starting up. Number 5, Notre Dame at number 2, Ohio State. They're heading to the Shoe. Interesting storylines here, Danny. Heisman Trophy watch, obviously, with CJ Stroud, the favorite. First-year head coach for Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman. I don't know if you saw this, but there was a reporter that told him that the spread was at 17. He was like, oh, I didn't know that. First of all, I don't believe that. I feel like all the coaches know what the spreads are. But he was like, you know what? I'm going to take this into my team meeting. I'm going to make sure everybody there knows how we're underestimated, that nobody believes in them. Kind of inspiring, although they're going to have to be extremely inspired to go against this very, very potent offense for OSU. Danny, what's your play here? If we look at the lines, Ohio State, obviously minus 17, huge spread. What do you think?
I'm not in love with laying three score spreads in general. Anything over 14, even in college, usually is going to scare me away. We know how crazy these scores can get run up. But yeah, Marcus Freeman, tough debut for him as a head coach here for Notre Dame in his first game coaching for them. Yeah, he was a former Ohio State linebacker. So interesting little wrinkle to the story there. Ohio State's coming off a disappointing loss to end their season, you know, derail it to Michigan. And they're coming in with a chip on their shoulder, man. I think they come playing angry in this one. C.J. Stroud, like you alluded, will definitely be a Heisman candidate again this year. I think he's going to go off. There's no reason I don't expect him to be as good or better than last year. And both teams actually have new defensive coordinators. Ohio State's kind of weakness was on the defensive side of the ball. They couldn't really get stops. They bring in a guy in Jim Knowles, who is known, hard to say, for his tricky
Knowles
looks.
Knowles
is known for the tricky looks. He's always trying to keep you guessing on defense and come up with a lot of disguising schemes. The reason I bring that up, Notre Dame's got a new quarterback under the helm for them. And Tyler Buchner, hope I'm saying that right, is going to have his hands full in this first one against Ohio State. Namely, because they've got a lot of injuries on the offensive line. As recent as a couple days ago, I'm hearing in camp for them that they've got. So you get a new quarterback with offensive line issues against Ohio State, who's coming in angry. Say less. I don't like 17, but if you're going to make me bet it, give me Ohio State and what should be a convincing win.
Should be a convincing win, but I'm kind of hopeful for Notre Dame and the Fighting Irish, but we will see. All right, moving on. The Ducks taking on the defending champions, the Georgia Bulldogs. Now, Georgia should be tough again this year, but they did lose probably more starters than anyone else did. This is also a 17-point spread favoring the defending champions, over under at 53. How are you playing this one?
Yeah, again, three score spread, not in love with it. But I saw something in the betting market that made my, you know, red light go off, and I'm going to have to bet it just based on the movement there. There is a ton of reverse line movement on this game total. It opened up at 50.5 for the over-under, and that makes sense, right? It's kind of a lower total on the college side. 50.5 is a little lower. And that's because, well, you think of Georgia, you think of their defense. And like you said, they lost so many people.
Now left. Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, Quay Walker, Trayvon Walker, Jordan Davis, Nakobe Dean, Devontae Wyatt. I could just keep naming them. They're all those guys were first round picks. So Is Georgia's defense going to be bad this year? Absolutely not. They're just going to recruit more great players. It's not like they're just going to fall off a cliff, you know. But to me,
they're going to fall off a little cliff, not a large cliff. But I mean, you can't lose that many people and expect to be exactly the same. But yes, I see what you're saying.
They're going to trip off a pebble, maybe at least. A slight decline in the defense would not be surprising. You're totally right there. But look, I don't think they're going to be that much worse is what I'm saying. The reason I'm bringing that up is because, well, the first thought you're going to have if you go to bet the game total is Georgia defense. Let me bet under. Over 70% of people initially went to go bet that under. Yet the number went up to 53, even 54 on some books. That doesn't make any sense. If more than two-thirds of bettors are saying, let's bet the under, and the market raises the number, that only happens when people bet the over. So that, to me, says ride over purely based on that significant reverse line movement. You got Georgia's quarterback Stetson Bennett back for his sixth year. He's doing a Van Wilder over here.
And Kenny Pickett last year. Like, these guys are just staying in college,
It's like endless summer, you know. He's got all his tight ends coming back. They've got a pretty dynamic offense themselves last year. And Kirby Smart, 3-0 against former coaches. If you are looking to take Georgia, he's beaten the coaches that have come from his system before. And they're playing against Bo Nix, who's going to be starting for Oregon, who was on Auburn and is very familiar with Georgia in a bad sense. He's 0-3 against him. So I think Georgia probably has their way with them here against Oregon, but I'm looking for points in this one based on that reverse line movement. So I have to auto-tail that. That's going to be my play, over 53 in this one.
I love that. Following the reverse line movement, always very sharp. Okay, moving on. We're looking at number 7, Utah. The Utes taking on Florida Gators on Saturday. This is just the third time that the Gators have opened up a season against a ranked opponent at home. It's also the first time they've been an underdog to open a season since 1982. What's your play on this one? It's a 3-point spread, over under at 51.5.
Yeah, I read an article that a writer said this is the toughest home opener for Florida in the last 50 years. And that's pretty, you know, wild to me because he's not wrong. I think Utah was damn good last year. They're coming in with a lot of hype, maybe more hype than their programs ever had. They're coming in ranked number 7 after winning the Pac-12 last year. Look, if you look at the stats, all the numbers back up that ranking. They were top 10 in the nation in rush yards, first downs, and third down efficiency. And they were top 20 in pass yards, red zone efficiency, and sacks allowed. So in a lot of different stat categories, they're ranking very high. That was impressive to me. They have a ground attack that few rival, led by Tavian Thomas. Utah was 10-1 when they outrushed their opponents. Florida ranked 85th against the run. There were a lot of games last year. They got chewed up. Ooh. So I think LSU ran for 320 rush yards against them. That's no good. Utah might have their way on the ground against them. Utah's also 27-3 in non-conference regular season games since joining the Pac-12 in 2011. I thought this one was weird because these teams don't typically play each other, and they haven't done so since like 1975, something like that. So it's a new look here. Speaking of new look, Florida, new head coach, Billy Napier. He's looking to right the ship. Culture change. They got a lot of, you know, overhaul in Florida. And look, Utah's walking into a hostile environment. Let's give Florida some credit. This is the swamp. It ain't easy to play down there, right? It's going to be hot. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be loud. Yeah. So, and that Florida defense could play last year. Their offense is certainly in question, but the defense could play. And their numbers were solid. They ranked in the top 50 in a lot of good categories. So they've got a freshman making his kind of true debut in Anthony Richardson. He looks to be dynamic, but I think he gets overwhelmed in game one. -2.5, maybe -3 now. I feel like that's a steal. Get it now because Utah might be 3.5, and you don't want that hook. You want to win on a field goal if it comes down to a close game. I like Utah a good deal in this one. This might be maybe my favorite bet out of the ones we've got on the board here.
Okay, good to hear. You think it's going to be a ground and pound from Utah just running all over the Gators. Can't wait to see that one. Moving on, number 23, Cincinnati, who surprised a lot of people last year against number 19, Arkansas. This one's Saturday, 3:30. Arkansas in the AP preseason poll for the first time since 2015. Cincinnati considered to have one of the toughest schedules. It's a 6.5-point spread. Cincinnati +210 underdogs, over under at 53. What do you think?
I've heard a lot of conflicting opinions on this one. Some people say Cincinnati's being overrated. No, they're being underrated. Well, they lost everyone. Well, they're still going to be good anyway. You should bet the money line. No way. They're going to get blown out. I mean, there's a lot of back and forth across the market on this one from opinions that I respect. Cincinnati lost 8 defensive starters to the NFL, and namely Sauce Gardner. I mean, he was, you know, one of the most electric defensive backs we've seen in a while. You love Sauce, Katie. You're all over that guy.
Yes, I love Sauce. Did you see that he got a deal with Buffalo Wild Wings? He's going to have his own sauce, the Sauce's Sauce, which is just perfect.
That's amazing. That's just good business. Well done. Good job, Sauce. And they lose their quarterback, Desmond Ritter, more importantly, right? I mean, he was really good. Yeah. They lose their running back, their wide receiver. I mean, they lost like really important skill position players. So not just all those great defensive guys that made up the identity of their team. Arkansas should have one of the best offensive lines in college football this season. I talked about trench warfare in our last episode and you're talking about NFL picks. I mean, that matters so much. I love teams that win at the line of scrimmage. It, you know, it goes under the radar a little, sometimes, but that's what wins football games so often. They've got a really good run game. They've got a really good O-line. They did lose Treylon Burks to the NFL draft. Amazing receiver. But they picked up this guy, Jaden Hasselwood. He's in the transfer portal, former 5-star recruit. Watch out for Jaden Hasselwood. And, to be fair, on the other side, Arkansas has lost plenty of defensive players themselves, but not of the caliber and significance that Cincinnati was to their program. So I just think this is a tough road game for Cincy at an SEC school. Again, environments we're talking about. Arkansas is tough to play. Those fans go nuts. They go hog wild.
The last time they played at SEC school was in the playoffs last year, and they got absolutely pummeled. So, yes, I feel that. And the Razorbacks, as you said, I got smoked. But, of course, it was against Alabama, the best team. But, all right, I'm riding with you on that one as well. Florida State, the Seminoles, going to LSU to visit the Tigers. It's Brian Kelly's first debut. It's his debut as the LSU coach. Both teams, 2 seasons with losing records. What do you like here? This spread is also 3. Tigers are the favorite, 160 on the money line, over under at 50.
Katie, I don't like much. I think I'm going to pass on this game. This is going to be my shortest breakdown. Brian Kelly, culture change coming into LSU, and that's big for them. But to me, I think he's going to get them on the winning track, but it's less about their success this year and then more about how they build for next year. Brian Kelly is going to be able to recruit whoever he wants as this, you know, star head coach. And it's about getting the program back on the right track after all the controversy with Ed Orgeron and all the stuff they went through. So look, they were just, you know, in the national championship so recently, right? So they got to get back here. And I think they will take a step forward this season. The thing is, I don't trust the team so far. I don't trust either of these teams. They were liable to turn the ball over left and right last season. I think this game could be filled with turnovers. So if you put a gun to my head, I'll pick LSU -3, but I don't want to put any money on this one. I don't trust it.
A pass on that one. Okay, moving forward, we're going to look at the number four Clemson at Georgia Tech visiting the Yellow Jackets. This is going to be Monday night. Clemson had a down year for Clemson standards. I feel like they were still 10-3 or 10-2, but they did miss the college football playoff for the first time since 2015. They still have one of the best defenses in the nation. This spread is huge, 23 points. Clemson Tigers on the money line, it's minus 2,000, over under at 51. Do you think that the Yellow Jackets can generate enough buzz to sting the Tigers?
That was a fantastic pun.
Thank you.
No. Blowout alert. Underway.
Quick answer, no.
I told you I don't like laying three touchdown spreads, but you got to lay it to play it, as they say. If you're going to play it, you got to lay it. And I think another team coming in with a chip on their shoulder is Clemson. Yeah, they had a down year. Quarterback play, not good. Offense, not good. The defense year in, year out is going to be fantastic, and it will be again this year. Georgia Tech is going to get overwhelmed in this game. They, from all the research I've done, apparently they had, everyone's saying they had a really poor offseason, and they did not improve their roster. They didn't really get anybody in the transfer portal. People are saying across the board that they might have gotten worse, which is not good to see. And many think that this is their head coach's last year, so maybe, you know, it could be a sayonara swan song for him. Clemson's defense is going to decimate them is really how I feel. They're just not in their weight class. And they're putrid on offense last year. So this is like a get right game for DJ Uiagalelei and see if he can, you know, find some rhythm, get that offense going. So bad in the red zone, so bad on third down. Like, they got to find some consistency and some clicking. This is just like a scrimmage to do that again. So give me Clemson by 23 on the spread here. But guys, I would get it in now because it's not going to go the opposite direction. You're not going to get back to 22 right. or 21. It's only going up. And if you get 24 and a half, you're not going to feel as good about that as you do about 22 or 23. So if you like Clemson, bet it before Monday. Get it now. Clemson in a blowout.
Moxie Bets is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older. All right, the time has come for Mox Locks, where Danny and I are going to give you our best bets for the weekend. I've got some MLB plays, and Danny, who is our UFC expert, has got some MMA and UFC fights for you guys. I will kick things off first. I'm taking the Phillies money line. Sorry, E40 over here in the Giants gear versus the Giants. This is at minus 110. Giants are 0-5 in their last five games, but they were the favorite in this matchup for a while. That line has since moved to Pick'em, both at minus 110. Righty Alex Cobb on the mound for SF. He's 4-6 with a 3.81 ERA. He's actually been pretty decent for the Giants. Phillies will counter with Kyle Gibson. He's 9-5 with a 4.08 ERA. The last game, he threw for 7 2/3 scoreless innings versus the Pirates while surrendering only six hits. The Giants lost 5-4 on Wednesday versus the Padres. The team is 9-25 in their last 34 games following a loss. Really, really bad for the Giants. Phillies, on the other hand, they are 10-3 in their last 13 road games versus a team with a losing record, the Giants, 61-68. There's your losing record. Phillies also 6-2 in their last eight during game one of a series. You just can't trust San Francisco. So the game is pick 'em. I'm going to pick the Phillies.
Very interesting. And in late September, down to the wire, the Phillies are hanging on to that second wild card spot by, I believe, half a game right now. So I want the team with more to play for who's locked in. The Giants season is essentially over. They're bad off a lot. 9-25 off of a loss. That's a good find right there. So, yeah, Phillies, Kyle Gibson on the mound. It's a good price, too. I don't see why I wouldn't back that. I like your logic here.
All right, next bet. Sandy Alcantara, over 5.5 strikeouts tonight. It's at minus 41. It's a little bit juicy, but that number is climbing. So if you like it, you should grab it now. He is the favorite for the NL Cy Young Award, but it's not exactly locked up yet. This game tonight is going to be very telling for that award versus the Braves. ATL has a potent offense, averaging nearly 5 runs per game. The Braves have also been dominant at home, 13-5 at Truist Park. Alcantara has been on absolute fire. He's had 29 strikeouts in the last 5 games. And in 2 games versus Atlanta this year, he's recorded 2 wins, has a 0.53 ERA, and 21 strikeouts at 7-14. 5.5, come on. Come on. I'm going with it today. What do you think, Danny? And this is rising. Some books have this all the way up at minus 160 now, so get it now.
Yeah, off the top of my head, I'm pretty positive the Braves are ranked amongst the top in strikeouts per game. They do have a high strikeout rate, so you're going to get a Cy Young candidate here, 5.5. Yeah, like you said, a little juice, but Sandy should do this, and I'm pulling for him. I want him to win the award. I've watched a lot of his games this year. He's fantastic. I'm a big fan.
All right, let's get into your UFC picks.
All right, let's get it. So this one is UFC Paris, first fight card ever in Paris. Really exciting. Ooh. Getting the French fans into the mix. They've done so in London. You can know guys like Paddy Pimblett and Molly McCann now. It's been electric in Europe. So let's bring it over to France. And I'm going to take a French fighter to kick things off. And that's a guy named Benoit Saint-Denis. Katie, you're going to love this guy. He's former French Special Forces. He's just a thug. I love him. He's so tough. They gave him a monster in his debut, and he got really, really badly beat up. In fact, so badly beat up that the fight should have been stopped really, really early on. The ref didn't do it, and they fired him that night. They fired the referee that night for how bad. The point is, he took a beating for three rounds and didn't go down. I mean, this guy is tougher than you've ever seen, and he's fighting a guy now that's making his debut. You're going to give a debuting fighter, Benoit Saint-Denis, who's a really good grappler. At home in France, a grappler versus a grappler. Saint-Denis is too tough for this kid. I think he's going to finish him either by sub or by knockout. So my first bet is going to be the French hometown fighter Benoit Saint-Denis by KO, TKO, or submission. Any method of finish? That's at minus 130. So I like him to get it done there.
Those are great odds too. Usually a favorite in UFC. Those are just crazy juiced up. So 130, you're getting a lot of good value there.
Well, I've got, and I'm taking him on a prop, right? He's got to finish the fight. So if he wins by decision, I'll lose the bet. But I think a debuting guy here who's going to have to grapple him and walk into Saint-Denis' wheelhouse, that spells trouble. So if you want to sprinkle submission, that's plus 240. You could do that. Ooh. I think there's a good chance of that. But I think the knockout is possible too. So I'm going to take by any type of finish. But if you want to spice it up, take Saint-Denis by submission. I'm not mad at that. Plus 240. Let's go.
Benoit Saint-Denis. I love that. What's your next pick?
All right, so the next one is going to have some more eyeballs on it based on the names, and you guys are going to be more familiar with these guys. In the co-main event of the evening, Robert the Reaper Whitaker taking on Marvin the Italian Dream Vettori. These guys both are like kind of forever 1A and 1B in the middleweight division. They're always the top contenders. You just can't get past Israel Adesanya. No one really can. So now the two best contenders at middleweight face off against each other, and what's basically another title eliminator, like whoever wins this fight challenges him again, but neither of them can beat him. I bring this up because Vettori is going to have to wrestle and clinch to beat Whitaker, and that's his game plan against most. Whitaker has some of the best takedown defense in MMA, and on the feet, I know that he's going to have the advantage striking against him. Whitaker, it might have the best fight IQ out of anyone in the game. Every fight he brings his game plan, he executes it, whether a win or a loss. So I just love the way that his mentality goes from rounds one through five. This is only a three-round fight, Katie. Normally, these guys are in five-rounders. So I think it should go the whole way. Oddsmakers have the over 2.5 at like minus 300. So everyone's expecting it to go the whole way because they're both smart, they're both tough, and they're both extremely well-rounded. I just think Whitaker can outpoint him in so many areas. So if Vettori's not able to wrestle him and clinch him for all three rounds, it's Whitaker's fight. Give me Robert Whitaker by decision at minus 120.
All right. Thanks, Danny, for joining us. Have a happy Labor Day weekend. This has been Moxie Betts presented by Caesars Sportsbook. Make sure you follow us on social at Moxie Betts. We'll see you Wednesday.